you. Well, good morning. Are we still all well? Anyone else feel as if they can't stand up, or is it just me? I will hold on to my lectern. We are going to be looking at the person and works of the Holy Spirit. And most of us, if we've been in church life any number of years, regardless to what denomination you originated from, if you've read Scripture in any way, shape or form, you would have heard in the name of the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit. So this is not a new thing, is it? Paul says something like this. He says, I come not with words of eloquence. This is the Apostle Paul in Scripture. I come not with words of eloquence. In other words, he says, look, I'm not here to persuade you, but I want to see a demonstration of the Spirit's power. The hymns that we've been singing today is about God's power. It's God's power that changes, yes? We can do good things for the right reasons and the wrong reasons. We can see God move in certain ways. We can see things change because we've sown in our time and our talents. It's not necessarily because of the Spirit of God moving in us, but it's because of our desire to serve Him that we still see good things happen. But in this series, and I'm only going to be doing an overview today, it's just an overview, an introduction, if you like, to this series. And the reason why we've decided to do this and do this now is because those of us that have been discussing the ins, the outs, the working and the manifestation of the Spirit of God, we feel that there's been an injustice sometimes in God's people, that they've portrayed certain things in a false doctrine. And I think, myself included, that when I've been through my journey, one of the things that I really loathe, if that's not too strong a word, is hype. I just don't like hype. Because I know that when you go to a football match, it's easy to hype people up. And you see thousands of people reacting to a goal being scored. And there's an excitement. But it's easy to be in a church setting where I can say something. And I can do something in a particular way. I can get people to say amen. Amen? It's just happened. So if we start to manipulate what God is doing and we detract from the truth won't set us free. It will be a desire. And for me, and I want to give you an overview into my life, my experience with God and allowing the Holy Spirit to manifest Himself. If someone would just let Toby in, that would be great. Is this, that I had, when I became a Christian, I had an overwhelming desire to serve Him. Is that the same for you? You just want to serve God. And sometimes I'd do the right things at the wrong time with the wrong motives. And sometimes I'd do the wrong thing at the right time with the right motives. And I had to learn to say, God, help me. And my journey is that I know that I'm an earthen vessel, that I'm a cracked pot. Not a cracked pot, a cracked pot. That God chooses to put this, yeah, I know what you're thinking. He chooses to put this treasure inside of me and inside of you. And that treasure is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's powerful. And so what we want to say through these next weeks and maybe months is we want to look not at the hysteria, but at the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. We want you to understand the truth of what it says about the Holy Spirit. I've put down here just one or two things, and it's rights and responsibilities. And it's hype, hysteria, or truth. And that's really the notes that I have. I don't want us to be in an atmosphere where we're always questioning, is this God? Is this God or is this the Holy Spirit? The Bible says, know the truth and the truth will set you free. Right, so if we know the truth, then the truth will set us free. And I believe this to be true. I think there's, in the church of today, there are some people, because they love God so much, they will just go with the flow. So if the pastor, the ministers, the worship leaders, they say something, that we believe it because we trust God's in control. But we don't think, is this the truth? And I want to challenge us as a church to say, is this truth? So whenever I speak, when those that are privileged with bringing doctrine, teaching, I want you, us as a congregation, and anyone who listens to these tapes to say, is this true? Is this true? Is this just hype or is this the truth? Look in the Bible for yourselves, dig in, and let's see what God says. So as I said, this is just a new overview One of the challenges I'm going to be placed in these next few months is to bring teaching in a different style to what I feel comfortable with. But today I can go with what the Lord has said to me and what he's doing in me. And I can bring a series of scriptures just as an overview and see what God says in it. Now, when we look at the outworking of the Holy Spirit, I remember as a Christian, I just simply made a decision to say, this is true. I didn't feel anything. I expected to almost see a hand come out of the sky like they used to when they first started the lottery and it went, it's you. And I expected God to move in my life in that way. I wanted an experience. I don't know about you, but I wanted to feel that this was true. And then I learned something quite significant in my early days of Christian walk. It's not about feelings, it's about faith. But you know what? It's okay to have feelings too. It's okay to say, Lord, I want to feel your presence. Lord, I want to feel your love. That's okay too. So sometimes on this side of the fence, you can be in church situations where everything is just monotone and it's okay. We're not supposed to feel anything. And then other times we can be in this side and it's like everyone's swimming across the road like fish. Well, there's a truth in all of that, isn't there? Feelings, it's okay. Truth is what we need to build upon. So that we know whatever it is we're feeling, it comes from faith, not from just a desire to feel something. And that's where we get into the realms of hysteria. And I don't want us to do that. But it doesn't mean that some of you won't feel God in a certain way that you're not used to. And that's fine too. So I want to bring one or six or seven scriptures and just see what time allows. So I trust you'll have, as my daughter says to her children at school, put your listening ears on. I'm sure Emma has done that too. So put your listening ears on. If you ever hear in scripture it saying verily, verily, or truly, truly, it means listen. Listen. This is something significant. So Jesus replied, verily, verily, or very truly. I tell you, this is in John 3:3. Jesus replied, very truly, verily, verily, listen. This is something that will help you on your walk. In other words, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And that phrase, born again, that has produced shockwaves through church experiences year after year after year. Because when we use that word born again in some circles, and it was certainly true for me when I became a Christian, I started looking at this. I thought it was just manifestation after manifestation after manifestation of hysteria. But it's not. Jesus is very clear. Look at these scriptures. He's talking to Nicodemus, a very well-educated individual. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. They cannot surely enter the mother's womb. And that's truth in that in itself, isn't it? But Jesus is saying something different. He says to Nicodemus, listen, flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit to spirit. I tell you, you must be born from above. And there's a truth in that. And in Titus 3:5, he saved us not because of righteous things we have done. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, who he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ. God saved us, the scripture says, saved us through the washing of rebirth by the renewing of the Holy Spirit. So there again, we don't just take one scripture that says you must be born again, flesh and spirit. We look at what the scripture says. We look at how it's tying in. I like the word that someone introduced me to many years ago, the law of first mention. What does God say in the Old Testament? And I'm glad you asked because we will look at that. What does God say in the New Testament? Good, you've asked that question. We will look at that. What does it mean to me? I'm glad you asked. Let's look at scripture together and see what it says. As an overview, I'm not trying to bring one thing significantly apart from what does the Bible say about the Spirit of God? What does it say about being born of him? Let's not be afraid of that. And I believe, if I'm being honest, there are people, and maybe some of us, that are afraid of that word, the Holy Spirit, and you're afraid because you've witnessed hysteria. Not all manifestations are of the devil, you know. God wants to overpower you at times. There's times where we cannot stand in the presence of God. And as a form of teaching, let me say this. I I don't want you to agree with this, but I at times think I'm a peculiar individual. No amens to that. David's nodding at the back. That's just as bad as an amen, David. But I think I'm a peculiar individual. And then I start to dig into Scripture and I go, why do I feel like this? I'll explain. Why do I feel like this? When I'm in a meeting, and I've been in many over the years, where people are being prayed for and they are what you call falling over, or they say they're being slain in the spirit. I say, why are people standing behind these individuals to catch them if that's God? In my warped mind, sometimes I think, well, if that's God, they're not going to hurt themselves. So why do we stand behind them? Because maybe sometimes it is the work of the Holy Spirit and sometimes it isn't. So it's good to question things. But I'm going to stand in line and say, Lord, you bless me. You bless me. You do whatever you want to do. So I want you to take away the fears of God doing something that you don't want him to do. Because he won't. But what he will do is he will strengthen your inner man. God's given me, I believe, and this is how I see the truth in my own life, and I'm bringing an overview, so I'm bringing some personal stories here, that I believe that I do the things I do because God's in me. When I work in the flesh, you know I'm working in the flesh. I will offend, I will say the wrong things, but my heart is to bless and love, but there'll be times where I'm out of character because it's not God speaking through me. But whenever I see his word, something illuminates. And there's times in my life where I've heard what I believe to be the Spirit of God speaking into my inner man. And I've gone forward with that. And God has graciously blessed me. And he will do the same with you. Don't write God off. Don't just say, Lord, I'll serve Father God. I accept Jesus Christ and not understand the person of the Holy Spirit. That's what this is all about. And we're looking at here, it says, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit. That means he brought a life to an area that was once dead. You must be born of God. You must accept. No one can say Jesus is Lord, Lord, except through the Holy Spirit. So if you're a Christian, let's set a foundation here. If you're a Christian today, you've been saved through the power of the Holy Spirit. So God lives in you. You have been born of his Spirit. But Scripture talks about something else we can grab hold of. And I hope you'll understand what that something else is. Other than salvation that the Holy Spirit wants to give us as we go through Scripture and read. Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Not only do we need to be washed and cleansed inwardly, we need to make a decision to live life in a different way. There's a renewing of our mind. Then you will be able to test and approve God's will. And what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. So there's times in our lives, I believe, that you would probably have said this as well. Lord, what do you want me to do? Well, we need to have a mind change. We need to say, I can't do it, but Christ in me, the hope of glory. What's the Christ in you, the hope of glory? That's the Spirit of God. That's the in you bit. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul said, I come not with words of eloquence. The eloquence is him. Anything that comes out of my mouth, which is not of God, is me. But he says, I come not with eloquence, but a demonstration of the Spirit's power bit is the Holy Spirit within him. So when he moves around, and when he moved around and we hear that he lay hands on the sick and they would recover, that wasn't the human side of him, that was the Spirit of God living in him. When Jesus said, it is finished, he went back to the Father and then he said, I'm going to pour out a gift, I'm going to give you that power too. And for us as a church, as we look through this series, hopefully we'll grasp hold of the importance of the Holy Spirit. And it's so easy, I believe, sometimes for godly men and women to think, because they've been told so, that you can't do the things the apostles used to do because you're just you. And the truth is, as you can't. But as Christ in you, the hope of glory, you can. The Bible says you can do all things through who strengthens you. You can't do anything through Andrew who strengthens you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So the work of the Holy Spirit in my life is to help me be who I'm supposed to be. The work of the Holy Spirit in your life is the same. But God has given you something so that you can give it away. He's not given you this treasure so that you can keep it in this earthen vessel. He's given you it so that you can be broken open through your frailties and allow that treasure to be released to others. The Bible says it something like this. It says, with the comfort you have been comforted with, you can comfort others. So you can comfort others with the comfort you yourselves have been comforted with. What did Jesus say he was going to do? He was going to send the Comforter. So we're going to look at who the Comforter is. And that comfort that you receive, as you go through that pain, that strife, that turmoil in your life, and you call on God and say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your Comforter. Lord, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit. God does something in you, and then you come alongside someone else who says, help. And God says, comfort them with the same comfort. So the importance of the working of the person of the Holy Spirit, I believe, is something that we all need to grab hold of afresh. And I'm sure you have an understanding. This is just to bring an overview, a challenge, so that you can take the fears that maybe some have and say, look, I don't have to be afraid of swimming across the floor like a fish, unless, of course, God calls you to. But it has to be God. But there is a truth that there will be times that I can't stand in the presence of God, because Scripture tells me so. It says you cannot stand in the presence of God. There will be times where you feel inadequate and you feel you can't stand, and you need to know that that's God in you. In Luke 24:49, I am going to send you, this is Jesus talking now, what my Father has promised. So these words that I speak are not my words, they're his words. Sometimes, because I don't necessarily open up a Bible, you might think they're my words, but they're not. They're his words. It's Scripture. And I remember saying this some years ago and thought I was going to get stoned. I had a New King James Bible, large print, as you do. And I said to the church, I said, this book is just a book of old text unless the Holy Spirit illuminates it. Unless the Holy Spirit illuminates it. Unless the Holy Spirit breathes on these words. And that's why there's times where you'll speak the truth to someone. You'll say to them scriptures like this. Jesus said, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. We're just going to pray for Rachel. That God continues to move in her life. She's suffering from blackouts. So we're a body. We don't have to be afraid of that. We want her to know that she's loved and cared for. So Father God, we thank you for your goodness, your grace and your mercy. We thank you, Father God, that Rachel is your child, that we have nothing to fear. And we pray, Father God, that faith will come and that you will bless her in Jesus' name. I pray that peace and calm will come upon her. Rachel, I'm going to ask you a question. Is that all right? Is that all right? Can you say yes or no? Rachel, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you trust God in this situation? There you go. Carry on. Carry on. Let it out. There you go. So, as I was saying, I am going to send you what my Father has promised. So God's given us a promise, yes? Has he just given me a promise or has he given you a promise? Answer. He's given you a promise as well. And what has he promised you? He's promised you that you're to wait until you receive power or you're clothed in power. Scripture says, put on a garment of praise. And there's an action in that word. It's saying, I need to clothe myself in righteousness. And there's lots of terminology like that through the Bible. To clothe yourself with power. To put on a garment of praise. And we don't need to fear what God does in us or through us. We need to have an understanding, I believe, of what God wants to say. You know, many of us, we go into the workplace. I'll pick on people, especially those that I can pick on. I'll pick on Sarah. If Sarah goes into the workplace with her natural ability, she comes out in tears, going, God, I can't do this anymore. That's not revelation, that's just truth, yeah? So she has to say, Lord, help me, fill me, encourage me. What is she asking for? She's not asking for words. She's asking for power. Where does that power come from? I'm glad you asked. From the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and indwells us. And it doesn't mean we're going to shake, shudder, rattle and roll. And we might do. But it means this, an assurance. The hymn says, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Yes? There's an assurance that you're not on your own. And that's why God gives us that promise, that comfort, that Holy Spirit. That's why he gives us me and you to help knock the rough edges off. Because we're family. That's why we shouldn't fear things. Another illustration on the person and power of the Holy Spirit. Many years ago, there was a lady in our church. She's gone home to be with the Lord now. Her name was Joan Smith. And Joan suffered in her body in many ways. And she was in church one day. She walked in and she collapsed. And it's not a very good experience when you see someone collapse, because you think they could be dying in front of you. But this is where the power and the person of the Holy Spirit comes in. And well, we have to listen. And it was a case of saying, Lord, and as I laid on the floor beside her outside in the doorway, I just asked the Lord, Lord, what do you want us to do? And all I could say is, all is well. Nothing profound, not thus saith the Lord, not a big hand from heaven, not a manifestation. But in my heart, I just felt the Lord say to me, all is well. So I prayed and we carried on with service. And this wonderful individual, after she was checked out by the ambulance service, came back into church and lived many more years. So when we talk about the power and the person of the Holy Spirit, it's personal to you. God wants to infill you afresh. It says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you, to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. This, that word again, the Spirit of Truth. And it goes on to give some explanation. It says this, the world cannot accept him because they neither see him nor know him. But you, O man of God, you, O woman of God, it says you know him, for he lives with you and will be with you in you. It goes on to say, Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will be raised. And then it goes on to say something I believe very important. So grab hold of this. It says, on that day, you will realize that I, Jesus, am in Father God. And you, man, woman, are in me. And I, Jesus, am in you. How can Jesus be in you if he died and went to sit at the right hand of the Father? He's in you because he said, when I go, I will send you the comforter. That makes sense? I will send you the advocate. I will send you the person of the Holy Spirit. So when the scripture says, you will realize on that day that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you, he's talking about the gift that he's going to send. That when you received salvation, it was through faith in Jesus Christ and you were born again of his Spirit. That meant that Christ came to live in you through the power and the person of the Holy Spirit. So I want us to grab hold of not the hysteria, but the truth. And if we know the truth will set us free. In Acts 1:4, it says this, on one occasion while he was eating with them, Jesus it is, he gave them this command. He said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. It's a promise to his church. It's not, I might do something. It is a promise to his church, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water. And that was the baptism for repentance. You've read the story. He's called John the Baptizer or John the Baptist because he'd come to baptize people to say as a symbol, this is to wash away your sins. Yes? And then he goes on to say this, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So there's an infilling, an indwelling. We become born again of God's Spirit. And then God comes and baptizes us. And it's a gift, he says. So what do we have to do with gifts? We have to receive them. Well done, teacher. We have to receive them. So God said, I'm going to pour out a promise. And I said, I'll have it. I remember some years ago, I was in Norwich, and I went to a meeting, Men's Fellowship, Business Fellowship International, and basically what that meant was any man who was in business, that was for them. And it was a meeting where we had a meal together, and there was a guest speaker, and I took a couple of guys along because I really felt they were struggling and needed encouragement. So I went forward for prayer with them, and the man ministering said to me, so what is it you want God to do for you? And I thought, good question. And I said, anything. Whatever God wants for me. And then this man starts to jump up and down. I'm just giving you a testimony here, and I've not shared this publicly before. This man started to jump up and down. Physically, I thought he was going to have a nosebleed. And he turns to his friend, and he gets excited, and he's going, can you see this? And his friend is jumping up and down, and I'm standing there thinking, oh my goodness, I've heard about these type of meetings. And this is the very reason I wanted to stay away. It's one of them meetings where they go, let's hold hands. And you think, yeah, really? And you stand up against the wall, and I'm thinking all these things, and I feel nothing. And he says, son, that's me. He says, have you read about what's happening in Argentina? And I went, no. He said, men are going into prisons and seeing people set free. They're going into AIDS wards and seeing God heal people. And I'm going, yeah, that's good. And he says, the Lord says, it's coming on you. Now, that's the Holy Spirit. But I didn't feel anything. You don't have to be in a situation of hysteria to say that's God. But you know what? It resonated with me. Because some years later, I was in the Czech Republic. And I was in a meeting, and there was about the same number that we have here. And at the back, on the last two or three rows, were young people, children. And someone stood up and said, there's something happening here, and it's not good, it's dark. And they asked us to stand up and pray. And I stood up and prayed, and I just opened my arms and started to speak in the language that God had given me. And all these children ran out of the room. And when we talked to the pastor, he said, we have an occult activity happening here with this child sacrifice in our cemeteries. And you're thinking, God. Now, it wasn't power from my voice, was it? It was the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in me. And that's called dunamis. And I remember Phil saying to me once, many years ago, he may not remember, he says, is that a real name? Is that a real word? And he looked it up and he went, oh yeah, dynamite. The dunamis of the Holy Spirit, the power, the rock. It's the breath of God that comes into us. And it's Christ in us. So what we have here in Acts 2:2, it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together. And there is something about being in unity one with another. That's why we feel it's so important for you not to be afraid of what God does. If it's God, be very afraid if it's not. If it's hysteria, run. If you ever hear me, I'll give you permission. If you ever hear me say this in a meeting, if you bring me $1,000, I will pray for your son and he will be healed. Leave. Right? That's not God. He says, freely I have given and freely give. So anyway, I digress. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And as I said, there's something about, oh my goodness, something about unity. And then it says this, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and it filled the whole room. Now listen, this was a violent wind. Sometimes God is going to get hold of you in your private place and he is going to shake you in your private place and he is going to say, son and daughter, I've empowered you so that you can go share the truth about me. And sometimes he'll do that in a public space. But it needs to be him. And we want to bring a doctrine, if you like, of the Holy Spirit over these next weeks so that we can bring the truth and not the lie. So that we can say, don't be afraid of what God does. If suddenly there's music that you're not used to, if it's God, let God work. If it's not, just enjoy the music. We don't need to be in an atmosphere of hype, but we do need to be in an atmosphere of anticipation. God says, for you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. It's that inner man. It's the Spirit of God in you. I love this portion of Scripture. I hope you get it in relevance to what I'm trying to say here. And I'm not bringing a teaching, a doctrine on this portion of Scripture because it could mean many different things. I just want to bring you an application. It says in Ezekiel 37:37, it says, the hand of the Lord was on me and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord And he set me in the middle of a valley, and in the valley it was full of bones. He led me back and forth, and I'm going to paraphrase because of time, and he says, in the valley it was full of bones, they were dry, they were very dry. In other words, they were dead, they were very dead. They had no flesh on their body. And the Spirit of God said to this prophet, he said, prophesy to these bones that they may live. Prophesy to these bones that they may live. And there are times where we can be in a circumstance, in a situation, and we feel dry. And dare I say, there'll be times where you can come into this church and you feel dry. And it's not necessarily because of you. It could be because of us. Because if there's not life, then there's death. And in this valley, they were full of dry bones. If you take a church that's half dead, and you take another church that's half dead, what have you got? Two half dead churches. You don't get a whole church that's alive, do you? And it's the same. He's saying here, there's a valley full of dry bones. And then he goes on to say this. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. So what's going to bring life? God's word. His script, it's going to bring life. But something else, not just life, because there is life in his word. And if you're a Christian, that means you've been born of his Spirit. He will manifest upon you. You will hear his word and you will understand his word. That brings life. But there's something else that's important in this portion of scripture. It says this. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. So he's saying, they need to hear the word, but they also need to have the ruach of God, the breath of God that will enter them. So in the church, we don't just need the word of God, we need the breath of God. Does that make sense? And the breath of God is the life of God. The life of God is manifest through the church, through the Spirit of God. So when we talk about being born of his Spirit, we're Christians because we accepted it, because God drew us through the power of his Holy Spirit, because we heard his word and it brought life. He's saying, I want to breathe upon you afresh. I want you to have the ruach of life. I want you to have that breath of God, that power of God. I'm short on time, so I'm going to quickly go through these. In Joel 2, 28, it says this, and afterwards I will pour out my spirit on all people. Now, I want to say this. It doesn't say, and after I've gone back to be with the Father, I will pour my spirit out on those privileged individuals that I call to be men and women who minister from the pulpit. I will pour out my spirit as long as you wear a white suit and gold rings. I'm being a little bit loose here, I know. He didn't say that, did he? What he said was this. Would you like to hear what he said? Yes, Pastor. There we go. He says this. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, proclaim my truth. It doesn't mean that we're all going to stand up and go, I have a vision here, Sarah. This is not God, by the way. I have a vision here, Sarah. You're going to have another six children.
Thanks. I don't receive that one.
Thus saith the Lord. He will build his church and he's going to use Sarah. No, he's not. What this word means is that you will be able to speak of his truth. His truth. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. I see visions all the time. Clive got that. Clive got that. No, I hope you're actually gaining something. Like I said, this is an overview. We'll get into the meat of it next week. In 2 Timothy 1, it says this, verse 7. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but it gives us power. Power. When we go forward, many of us in this room, we have natural abilities. We have natural strengths, don't we? I was talking to Sarah about my childhood earlier, and my brother gave me a piece of advice when I started school. Now, Toby, don't do this. He gave me a piece of advice when I went to school. I went to Gaywood Park. And Gaywood Park, they had an initiation test. They would pick you up and kick you over the goalpost. And if you survived, they'd do it again. And he said to me, he said, Andrew, this bit sounds really good. He said, you have an older brother here. I'm 3 years older than you. And I know a lot of people. I'm thinking, oh, good. He said, but if you're in trouble, I'm not going to help you. What you got to do is pick the biggest person in the crowd and go for his kneecaps. And that was his advice to me, Toby, don't do this. I never had no natural power. I was very slim built, I had glasses, and I was inferior, and I was afraid of my own shadow. I never had no power. But there was something that he said in the flesh that empowered me to stand my ground, and I won't go into it, and it enabled me to become who I am today through the flesh. Now, how much more through the Spirit? When we understand what God is saying here, for the Spirit God gave us does not give us a spirit of timidity, but he gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Self-discipline means you need to be self-disciplined. That there's areas in our lives that God can't discipline you, but through the power of God, he will help you to manifest that change. So I want to say, as I bring my final scripture, which is in John 14, 12, it says this, "Very verily I tell you," in other words, listen, "whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing." That's encouraging, isn't it? This is Jesus saying this. Now remember, we heard through communion that Jesus healed the lepers. If you've read your Bible, you'll know that Jesus speaks into death and brings life. He puts his hand on the child and they recover. He speaks and it comes into being. There's a woman caught in adultery and he says to her, "You're going to live. There's rivers of living water that you can drink from." He says to the woman who has the issue of blood that shouldn't be where she was when she was there. She should have been isolated somewhere else on an island on her own. But there she was, expecting Jesus to do something. And Jesus said, "Who touched me? Power has left me." These are the things Jesus did. And this is what he says to you and me. He says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me," and that's you, isn't it? Do you believe that Jesus is who he says he is? You do. So this is speaking to you. It says, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. So how do you think, as I invite our worship team to lead us in our last hymn, how do you think we can do greater things than Jesus did? I'll answer that. Over these next few weeks, we're going to introduce you to the person and works of the Holy Spirit in a way that you will understand that it's not through hysteria, but you'll also understand it's okay if you feel and experience the presence of God. We will bring it to you in an application that you will know the truth and the truth will set you free, and you won't be afraid of that word, born again. You'll realize it is just a simple encounter with God when you accepted him as Savior and Lord. We'll introduce you to the concept of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. It means to allow God to submerge you, to overwhelm you, so that you can say, "Lord, Christ in me, I can go out into the world and I can do all things because you strengthen me." That, "Lord, your word says that I can do greater things than you did," because if you look at it and analyze it, Christ Jesus was fully man yet fully God. Yes? He was in one place at one time. When he said, "When I leave, I will send you the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth," the Spirit of Truth lives in all of us. So instead of there being one Christ, there's many manifestations of his truth through the power and working of the Holy Spirit that lives in us. So I want to ask you, church, please to analyze everything that we say. Wrestle with everything that we say if you don't agree with it. Look at what the Bible says so that you cannot be fearful. God's not given you a spirit of timidity, fear, but a sound heart of love. When you walk into a situation that you feel is overwhelming you, let that spirit that God's given you envelop you. Use his word. His word. Speak into the situation. "Father God, this seems to be difficult for me, Lord, but I can't do it, but you can. Lord, through the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit, manifest yourself upon me, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit." Only God can do that. But we have to be self-disciplined. We have to be the ones that ask. We have not because we ask not. We have to be the ones that seek. If we don't seek, we won't find. We have to be the one that examines. We have to read the truth so that we know the truth, so that the truth can set us free. Father, we thank you for these few moments that we have. We pray that you continue to bless us, that we may be a blessing. My prayer for us as a family, Lord, is that we will be empowered by the person of the Holy Spirit, that we won't be afraid of him, but we'll understand the truth and the truth will set us free. Amen. If anyone would like us to pray with you, listen, this is not one of these hysteria moments. This is one of these moments where, do you know what, in my life I've gone, God, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. You're going to have to do something. If you are in one of them moments, we don't need to know what it is, because God does. Let's pray with you. Let's pray with you. So come forward and just let us join with you, lay hands on you and just say, Father God, come. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Jackie.
Thank you, Andrew. There's a book which I've never read the whole of, but it's by a guy called Watchman Lee. I think it was written in the 1920s, if I'm right. I don't know if that's actually true, but I think it was the 1920s. It's called The Normal or The Ordinary Christian Life. And the idea about it is that the ordinary Christian life isn't, you know, being a nice person and saying hi to your neighbour and coming along to church on Sundays and perhaps Wednesdays or whatever midweek day we do. The ordinary Christian life is Acts. That's what Jesus died for. That's why he poured out his spirit. The ordinary Christian life is what we read about in Acts. So let's all of us be excited by the fact that God wants to bring us into an ordinary Christian life, eh? Now, you know how great I am at remembering about the collection. I put these here so that we would... I put them there so we do them in Great Into Life faithfulness, and even though they're right in front of my face, I forgot them. This week, Pauline has introduced me to an absolutely beautiful new song. I think you'll love it. We're going to do it now. We're going to sing it twice, Phil. Because with a new song, you know, you have to listen and concentrate and think what the words are and where's the tune going. So hopefully if we sing it through once, then we sing it again, you'll be able to relax into it a little bit in the second time. I think you'll love it. Come, Lord Jesus.